Kia ora. Welcome to the Arise Church podcast. For more details, you can find us at arisechurch.com. But right now, we're going to hear from our senior leader, Ben Kendrew. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Isaiah chapter 6, starting at verse 1. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him stood seraphim, each with six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. And one called to the other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at his voice. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me. I am lost. I am but a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amidst a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then one of the seraphim flew, having in his hand a burning coal he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin atoned for." Is there anyone thankful for the atoning work of the blood of Jesus Christ? Come on, if you've been saved and redeemed, take a moment right now and give him praise and glory. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And then then I heard the voice of the Lord say, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me, Lord." And he said, "Go, say this to the people." You keep on hearing, but you do not understand. You keep on hearing, but you do not perceive. Please remain standing. Romans chapter 6 says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time? Things of which you are now ashamed. For the end of those things is death, but now you have been set free from sin and become slaves of God. The fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Let's pray. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you, Lord, that you come to set the captives free. Jesus, as you first opened the scroll of Isaiah and read, as you began your ministry on earth, you said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim the good news that the captives would be set free, the oppressed would be set free, the blind would see." So God, I ask, Holy Spirit, fill me today as we read your word. Let captives be set free. Let the blind see. Let us walk out of this place redeemed, sanctified, and ready to change the nation, not for our glory or accolade, but that the city of Christchurch and indeed New Zealand would bow the knee and know your goodness. Right from the outset, we say, "Here we are, send us." I ask you to speak, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give God some praise this morning and grab a seat. Thank you, Summer. I'm going to read word for word what I wrote during the week in preparation so we feel the resonance of what God has already begun in this service today. I am tremendously excited about this service, excited and apprehensive. It won't just tickle ears and give us a nice feeling on a Sunday morning. This series has the potential to change the spiritual climate of Aotearoa, New Zealand. This is about living a life of holiness, awe and reverence to our God. reverence to God that leads to submission to His will. That's our goal. That's our hope as a leadership and a pastoral staff. This is my prayer for the next 4 weeks. Reverence to God that leads to submission to His will. I'll keep reading word for word. The time for playing church is past. The time for a nominal tick box, I just attend occasionally, spectate my Christianity, is over. The time for a bold, righteous, holy, Christ-like witness to our world is now. The world needs a consecrated, set apart, and sanctified church. Do you understand how I wanted to just pass my iPad up to Amanda and say, carry on? Someone else can deliver this message. The Lord is looking for those who are fully devoted to Him. And that is who He promises to strengthen. Does anyone need strength from the Lord in any area of your life today? Give me a wave. Both of my hands are up. He is promising to strengthen those who are fully committed. I was convicted in our prayer preparation for this series. Some of the reasons I have not found the strength of the Lord for my area of need is because my heart has not been fully committed. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eye of the Lord searches the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. My prayer, let that be Arise Church. Let that be the saints in 2025 whose eyes of the Lord, He finds us. He finds hearts fully committed and therefore He strengthens. Holiness, reverence, awe, fear of the Lord. This is what leads to a genuine revelation and experiencing of God's grace. And this is why I wanted to begin this series and unpack for us today Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. We're going to go verse by verse this morning. We're going to understand exactly what God was doing, not just in the life of the prophet Isaiah, but what I believe prophetically He wants to do in the life of every person who hears my voice. If anyone listens to this on a podcast, I believe that they are going to be moved by the confrontation of the holiness of God. Bible translators and editors in our English versions have entitled Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah's vision or Isaiah's commission, or the NLT says His cleansing and call. This passage is one of our key texts for this series. You're going to hear from many powerful preachers over the next 4 weeks unpacking various passages of Scripture about the fear of the Lord. I wanted to begin here because what we see in Isaiah is reverence to God that leads to submission to His will. He experiences awe and then atonement and then activation. Preachers love alliteration. I love alliteration. So much so that we're not doing three A's today. I have 8 words starting with C. Here's what happens and here's what we're going to understand from the Scripture. Confrontation, conviction, cleansing, consecration, calling, commitment, commissioning and contribution. Some of those God does the work and some of those are our responsibility. Are you ready to go in today? This is your moment if you feel like you've got a subtle text from kids leaders that you've got to go and check your kids and make your way out the door. No condemnation on that list because in Christ there's no condemnation. But we are going to be confronted. Let's begin. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on His throne, high and lifted up. The train of His robe filled the temple. He saw angels, seraphim, surrounding the throne, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's, is the Lord of hosts," this translation says. The whole earth filled with His glory. Isaiah was confronted by the majesty and magnitude of our great and mighty God. And this must be the place from which we begin our Christian journey. Not just begin, at moment of salvation, because I recognize I am in a gathering of many mature saints today. Is there anyone like me who made a decision to follow Christ over 2 decades ago, more than 20 years of following Jesus? Everyone else, can we commend and thank these saints in the room, their witness, their example? But this word is for us as well, my friends. not just for those who found out about the holiness of God last week when someone shared the good news of Jesus Christ walking up Cashel Street because they were at Saints Young Adults Conference. We must begin, I would say, every day. Why do we begin every service with songs of praise and thanksgiving, and then vertical worship is what we call it in church circles? Why has there been a heavy shift in the writing of worship songs back to the greatness of our God, the holiness of our God? Why have revivals in the last 2 or 3 years been captured by songs and returning to songs like Agnes Day? Well, I don't know if you know, but tens of thousands of college-age students in America last year began singing that song with a worship team, exceptional environment, some of the world's greatest worship leaders. But when you hear the story from those worship leaders, they lost that room to the magnitude of God. And for 20 minutes, students poured out their heart to God singing what the angels sung in Isaiah. Isaiah saw the Lord. He was in a posture and a position where he recognized God's greatness. What's that place for you? And when was the last time you experienced that? It can be, I pray that it is every single Sunday morning in the Aurora Center, 5 p.m. at the Aurora Center. I've been coming to church in this building for nearly 18 years and I see the Lord. But it cannot be sustained being confronted by his magnitude for half an hour led by a very gifted but also prayer-filled team on a Sunday, because they're not with you on Monday. We need to be confronted by the holiness of God every day. Church, I want you to know, I begin every day with these songs on rotation in my house, in my ear pods. If I'm walking, if I'm going to the gym, if I'm sitting at the couch, before anyone else is up, I play my playlist. I have two that I rotate. One is called Meditatio. Roman thought I made an error that I'd missed the word, the letter N. It's not meditation. I just like the Latin version. Hey, pretty cool. I go with that one sometimes because there's no lyrics. They're just songs of worship to God, just instrumental, allow me to try and express my honor to God. Otherwise, my other playlist that I go with is called The Throne Room, and it is songs like we sung this morning, Who Else Is Worthy? I saw the Lord. Holy are you, God. We can't be who God's called us to be in our day-to-day, but I'm getting to the eighth one, contribution in our world, without first being confronted by the holiness of our God. Can I implore every Christian, and particularly those who have been following him for decades, for years, do not relent. Do not give an inch to the things of this world. Do not stop seeing the Lord like Isaiah saw. Do not give your heart to anything. Why is the first commandment, worship the Lord your God with all your heart? Because there are 1,000 other gods, little g, trying to get my worship, your worship, every single day. I heard this quote, I wanted to put it in here. I wish it was mine, I like it. Before you reach for your phone, reach for the throne. What is the first thing we all touch in the morning? Our freaking phones, man. I've started putting it back onto flight mode. It's there, it's my alarm. And the first, my commitment, I fail more than I like to admit, is to open the Bible app and seek the throne of God. Before we reach for our phone, would we reach for the throne? Because when we're confronted by the holiness of God, it helps us see ourselves correctly. Pride dies where reverence lives. And that leads us to conviction. What happened for Isaiah? The foundations, he was in awe. The house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me. I am lost. I'm a man of unclean lips. I couldn't turn around and meet someone new today. And I love that. I'm pure extrovert. I got more words stored up then I can get out in a half hour preach this morning. But I couldn't turn to meet someone new for that 60 seconds because I'm sitting here going, God, consecrate me. I'm convicted again. I got to carry this word. It's so heavy. It's so weighty. And I'm amongst a world of evil is perpetrating evil things in our world this very week and every week. And I'm convicted, Lord. I've seen the holiness of God and I recognize I'm convicted by my lack of holiness. True reverence and awe leads to a conviction of the heart. I am unclean. Simply put, God is holy. I am not. Reverence and fear for the Lord is not about living in shame and guilt. And this is where it turns. If you're in our team huddle before the service, I was like, man, Andy's taking my message. Here we go. Andy first, Amanda second. Praise God, the Spirit is moving today. Amen. Because what happens there is an understanding of God does not look and say, you dirty, rotten sinner. The wages of sin are death, but the gift of salvation, eternal life, freedom for the captives. When we acknowledge the holiness of God, it helps us understand He is holy, I am not. Wow, look at His love and mercy. Think of Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man, God's pinnacle of creation, His son and His daughter that He gifted to His son. One man, one woman, male and female. Let's make sure that's real clear for the podcast today. God, the sovereign creator of the universe, is divine and holy, and He creates a man out of what? Dirt and dust. Sometimes, I don't know about you, we, Christians even, but certainly the world can view the consequences handed to Adam and Eve after they sin as very, very harsh. Ever been asked the question, why would a loving God do that? Why would He bestow such a punishment of separation? Why would a loving God make that? To be abundantly clear this morning, God's punishment for Adam was so far from severe and harsh. The wages for sin, that's what Adam did, was death. And Adam kept living beyond Genesis 3. Are we understanding the depth of mercy and grace that our God's punishment for Adam, the dirt man disobeyed the divine and yet kept on living. In fact, walked out His God-given purpose. God did not punish him severely. He displayed great mercy. Adam did not get what he deserved. Adam got the love of the Father. The Bible said, eat of this, you'll surely die, Genesis 3:3. That was the consequence. That was fear, not severe, that was fear. And God didn't even punish him with fear. Adam continued to live. We recognize God's holiness, we're confronted by it, we're convicted of our own sinfulness, we recognize that, and that opens up the door to grace, mercy, and love. Because we experience cleansing and consecration. One of the seraphim flew, having in his hand a burning coal. He took with tongs from the altar and he touched my mouth. Remember, Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. The area with which you feel the greatest shame and distance and dissipation from God. The grace of God is available here to speak, to move, for coals to touch a heart. You may have walked in sin now in secret for many years, but God, the grace of God is here to wash away the sin. He turned me white as snow, David said. We are unclean, but we are made clean. How? Why? By my efforts, by my striving, by ticking 1,000 boxes, by playing Ben's playlist in the morning. No, that's not how we're made clean. We are only made clean by the blood of the Lamb. We are only made clean, made holy by touching holy. Consecrated means to dedicate, to set apart. This thing here is sacred. It's made holy. And here's what we find in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 27. Anyone or anything that touches the sacrificial meat that was upon the altar, anything that touches it, even accidentally, will become holy. Do you understand how God has opened up the doors? Hebrews says we can walk boldly into the throne room of grace. My friend, I did not want to leave you on point 2 of 8 today. Our conviction, I'm dirty, I'm unclean. Isaiah didn't stay there longer than one verse. You need to walk out of this place realizing by the blood of the Lamb, I have been washed and made new. I am set apart. I touch the Lamb and I am made holy. Cleansing and consecration. Your guilt is taken away. Read it over and over. Your guilt is taken away. Consider Genesis 3 again. Who suffered the consequence of sin? That serpent. He is the one that God cursed. As Amanda already said, we have an enemy prowling like a lion, but he is not a lion. He is a serpent that gets crushed under the feet of the people of God. Some of us haven't, we've been convicted, that's for sure. And then we live under a cloud, a shroud of guilt and shame. You need to hear this abundantly clear today, my friend. Guilt and shame are never tools of the Lamb. That's the exact tool that the serpent used. Oh, God, if you do that, oh, no. Who told you that? God told you that. Oh. Seeds of doubt. But we touch the Lamb, not the serpent. Amen? And we're confronted by the holiness of God, convicted by our sin, but then cleansed and made holy. And it's from that place of surrender that we can hear the call. Whom shall I send? Who will go? Who will go to Burnside High School, not on Sunday morning, but on Monday morning? Who will go to the health sector of New Zealand? Who will go? Who will go into the business arena and the marketplace? Not to make a buck, but to bring the hope of Jesus Christ to a hopeless economy. Who will go to Hawswell or Sumner or Aidenfield? Who will go to the University of Canterbury and the University of Lincoln? Those who have confronted with the holiness of God, recognized our place of sin, but being cleansed and consecrated, who will hear the call? Oh, my prayer is that as we understand fear of the Lord and holiness and reverence, that it isn't something that marks us for a moment on a Sunday, but it transforms us to hear the call of God every day. Who will go to your neighborhood? Who will go back to your flat where people are living, as Amanda so rightly described, oppressed, bound up by things that they might not even know about? So who will go? Is there anyone? Anyone who's been convicted but being cleansed, whose response is like Isaiah, willing to commit, who will make a commitment? Because I heard the Lord saying, who will go? Who shall I send? And I said, here I am. Send me. My hand is up. My heart is willing. Because of your great love and mercy, because of the washing and redeeming and restoring that you have done in my life, because of the coal touching my lips, lips that were unclean a moment ago, washed and made new now, I will go. Send me, Lord. Why are we doing a series on holiness? Yes, to understand that God, he is not a good idea. One of the things that we throw into our week, sprinkle on top, understand the magnitude of God. But my prayer as the lead pastor of this church is that thousands upon thousands of saints will be confronted by the holiness of God, and it will end up with a commitment and a contribution for the kingdom. I was like, oh man, oh, as much as anyone, I love worship. Most Sundays I'm down here going, maybe we flag the preaching. Plus every time Shannon preaches, it makes me convicted about how good he is and how I'm not. So let's just tell the worship to carry on. I'm joking, kind of. Very strong preaching team here in Christchurch. Immensely blessed. Hudson's in Dunedin, by the way, because they need the anointing of Canterbury. Amen. I love the presence of God. I love the scriptures. David, I think, encapsulates it so well. Oh, I behold your glory and magnitude. Psalm 63. Sorry to whoever's out the back, this isn't in the notes, but I see your power in the sanctuary. When we gathered in worship, we love it. I love the presence of God. But it is never meant and designed. It was never God's desire for that to be an end unto itself. I've known what it is like as a pastor to love the presence of God and then be meh on Monday. I want to live the life like Simon Peter said, Lord, whom should we go? Where else would we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Like Joshua said, if it's evil in your eyes, serve the Lord. You choose this day who you're going to serve. You, whether it's the gods of your fathers or another region. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's only one way that brings eternal reward. When we make a commitment, my heart is fully committed, fully devoted. Your decision. I can't do this for you. Shannon can't do it for you. Your life group leader, your youth pastor, no one else, your spouse, your parent can't make a commitment for you. So I ask today, whom will I go? And when God finds someone whose hand is up and heart is willing, he strengthens them. And as he said to Isaiah, he commissioned him. Now go and say this to the people. I just need to make sure we tie these last two together. There is no commissioning without commitment. We all love a new job title, role, acknowledgement, notification change on LinkedIn, congratulations, clap emojis. We like a new role in volunteering at church. I've got, yes, maybe I'll, I don't know. It does something inside of us. We get a dopamine hit. We like acknowledgement. I like it as much as anyone else. But you cannot really be commissioned unless you've made a commitment. That's the difference between an interim coach in a sports team and the head coach. The interim coach does not have a mandate to make all the changes, make the hard calls. And they've always got an out. I'm just the interim guy. They haven't actually appointed me. So here's the call today. If my hand is up and my heart is willing, if I'm committed, then I believe that God is ready to commission. Once commissioned, you have a mandate and a responsibility. I've gone all in. When we go all in, he won't hold back. He's searching so he can strengthen. Paul said it so many times, according to his mighty power at work within, I'm going to do what God's called me to do. And this is our conversation. He did that part. He commissions. But now the ball returns to us. And we make a contribution. Wasn't the worship team join me today? Because we've got to do something. There is a broken world all around us. I pray that God ministers each and every week to the hearts and lives of those who are faithful and gather here on a Sunday. Brings physical healing to your bodies and your families. Brings freedom from wrong mindsets and strongholds that crop up. Builds community around you so you know you'll never have to go about this Christian journey alone. I pray that that's the case. But my deepest prayer is that we leave this place lunchtime on a Sunday, ready to make a contribution for the next 6.5 days. Isaiah experienced the throne room of heaven. What a space to be in. I saw the Lord. He's on a throne. There are angels with 6 wings each flying around him. Oh, majesty and glory to you, God. Holy are you, Lord. I'm made clean. Okay, I gotta go. Okay, I'm ready. Isaiah, most biblical scholars would say he had to be somewhere between 20 and 35 because of what he did after this moment. Served under multiple kings, of whom we know historically, not just scripturally, some of those kings were on their throne for 40 years. So Isaiah, as a young man, said, I love the presence of God. This is amazing, but I got to do something. Probably the greatest impact of Saints Young Adult Conference last week for me. I mean, oh guys, you got to know. On a Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock, there's hundreds of young people on their knees just pouring out worship just in a session that was called the Upper Room, just to give glory to God. Beautiful. And I loved it. And it was an amazing environment to be in. Every time we opened services with worship, oh my goodness. But then every single one of them is saying, God, for what you're doing in my life, for what you've done in my life, I must carry this out. If you didn't catch up with the news, Christchurch campus, last Saturday, about 200 young adults went out on the streets of Christchurch, worshipped in Latimer Square with hands lifted high, top of their voice. Some went up to strangers, walked around the central city. Can I pray for you? Hey, how are you going? They were given tools and equipped saints going out, proclaiming the good news, praying for people and praising our God. Confession and courage. That's what Zach Meerkreeps says happens in this passage and what's happening for the next generation. Who's that? Well, you might never hear his name again. He preached a message that he texted his wife to say, well, that was a stinker. At a university chapel service where 1,000 students had to go, mandatory. At the end of his message, very different style of service to what we experience here on a Sunday. He said, out of obligation, I said, I'll be around if anyone wants some prayer. He said he looked at the time, realized he's meeting someone for coffee in about an hour and a half, so he's got no place to be anyway. Out of obligation and convenience, I'll stick around if anyone wants. 1,000 students in the room, about 987 of them leave. 13 decide they just want to seek the Lord a little more. They want his presence. They're convicted. Something happened. This was at a college in America called Asbury. 2 years ago, we're not talking 1970s, which I'm reminded is not 30 years ago, it's 50 years ago. 2 years ago, 2023, after a global pandemic, all the political upheaval, crazy stuff happening, 13 students just want to seek the Lord. Becomes a 16-day revival where millions of people walk through the doors of that little chapel at Asbury. People fly across the world to say, I need to be in a throne room of which has birthed missionaries already who uprooted and went to other countries. Stirring something, a campus movement across the universities of America that has now birthed and reached out into Australia, New Zealand, the UK. Something was sparked, not just for 16 days where the town police and council and everything had to change. We pray for a revival and then we get frustrated when they do half a song longer than I anticipated on a Sunday morning. Am I ready to be inconvenienced for the cause of Christ? Are we ready to be inconvenienced for the cause of Christ? Are we ready to make a kingdom contribution that will transform the city that bears his holy name? We're not playing church anymore. So my prayer today is that we won't go out of here and just comment, whoa, Ben's usually the happy clappy guy. We have a generation raised on observing things online. All of us spend our lives looking at screens. Thanks very much, COVID. But what it's done is meant that we are very good at commentating and no longer contributing. We don't need more commentators in Christchurch or New Zealand or indeed around the globe. We need more kingdom contributors. We need people who have been cleansed by the love of Jesus, consecrated because we touched the Lamb, called out and commissioned, ready to contribute. And the Lord is saying, whom shall I send? Can we stand to our feet today? Here's what I believe is going to happen over these next few moments, and I am faith over the coming weeks of this series, in different ways with different scriptures and different songs and different preachers. People are going to be confronted by the holiness of God. People are going to be convicted of who I am before the Lord and then recognize His cleansing and consecration. People are going to hear the calling of God and say, not on my watch, no more apathy, no more tiddlywinks, no more rolling through the motions. And we're going to make a commitment, be commissioned, and see kingdom contribution. It's going to lead to confession and then courage. That's what Zach Meerkriep said. When you behold Jesus and His presence falls, just like Isaiah 6, people respond with confession and then courage. Can you close your eyes today? God, I thank You for Your word, because it comes not just to tickle ears, but to cleanse hearts. God, I thank You for Your holiness and Your glory and Your magnitude and Your majesty. And I thank You that You have made a way for us to enter in and experience that. The things that only You can do. God, I personally repent for any apathy and complacency and my unwillingness to be inconvenienced. And that if anyone on the other side of my choice to choose comfort over kingdom, if anyone has missed out on experiencing Your love, I repent today, God, afresh, personally and as a church. We come to behold You, ask that You would cleanse us afresh and You would use us for Your glory.
Thank you for joining us for the Arise Church podcast. We hope this message has blessed you. For more content or resources, visit arisechurch.com. Matiwa, see you soon.